Shekeme Aile
Give it.
Hi, 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 hi Thank you. ちゃうじゃん。止まらないじゃん。
Shkayach to the chevra for arranging Matthew, especially. Tu Bishvat is a very precious yet interesting zman. The Jewish calendar. So I have to ask you, what exactly brings us together here tonight? Of course, you would say Tu B'Shvat. And then I would say to you, so what's Tu B'Shvat about? And you would reference the only source really in all of Torah Shabbat Peh, which is a reference to Tu B'Shvat, which is the beginning of Rosh Hashanah. Machlekes Beishami Beishilal Rosh Hashanah Lilanis. Okay, so what does that mean for me? I can understand to get together like this for Purim, for Chanukah, Tu B'Av even. What is the big simcha of Tu B'Shvat? Take a look at the Svar Makdashim about the schoolers of Tu B'Shvat. It's almost like the brachas of Yom HaKippurim. Havtachas for Bane Chaim Zaini. But L'chayr, it's really like the Gemara has an expression, the Mishnah, it's like a Migdal HaParech Ba'avir. It doesn't seem to have much of a basis whatsoever. Nor in Torah Shebechsav, nor in Torah Shebal Peh. It's a story with the Rebbe from Advarna. That once a Talmud saw him, caught him late at night, on a Tu B'Shvat night, up against the wall lighting candles on Tu B'Shvat. And he asked the Rebbe, Mayahai, what's going on here? So he says, the Gemara tells us, the Mishnah tells us at the end of Tainus, the two heilige days of Simcha of the year are Tu B'Av and Yom HaKippurim. And just as Tu B'Av is a Yontif, so the Gemara has a drasha in Shabbos which says, Agzeira Shava, Chamisha Asar, Chamisha Asar. Which really from where we learn out Pesach and Sukkot together. But he said, I darshan this gzeir shava chamisha asar chamisha asar to tell us that in the same way there's a gevaldik simcha in Tu B'Av, so too there's a simcha in Tu B'Shvat. Chamisha asar chamisha asar. If one takes a look at the Gemara in Tu B'Av, the Gemara gives six reasons why the day of Tu B'Av is such a simcha. The Harigas Beitar. Rekindling of the Korban HaTamid, etc. And if one takes an honest look at the Gemara there about the Simcha and Tu B'Av, and he's looking at this Gemara, he's looking at this Mishnah with a real emeskite, and he's saying to himself, what's Tu B'Av is compared to Yom HaKippurim, the greatest day of the year, Slicha, Mechila, and Kapara, and because we were able to bury some Tzaddikim in Beitar, or any of the other reasons that the Gemara gives, this is on the level of a Yom HaKippurim. But the teretz is that when the Gemara tells us that the Simcha and Tu B'Av, that there are six reasons why Tu B'Av is a Simcha, that's not really the reasons why Tuba Av is a Simcha. You have to be a little bit lumdish. Sometimes there's simanim, there's a simin, and sometimes there's a siba. When the Gemara gives six reasons for the Simcha and Tuba Av, that's not sibas. Why Tuba Av is such a great day. The Gemara is coming to an understanding based on an observation that if so many things are happening on this day of Tuba Av, it's a marim makum for us to tell us that there's something special about this day, but we really don't know yet what it's all about. But there are certain days on the Jewish calendar that we know what they're about. There's Zechel Yitzias Mitzrayim. But that there are certain days in the Jewish calendar that they're up and coming, that they're rising stars on the Jewish calendar, that they really haven't shown their true colors yet. And Tu B'Av is one of those days, and Tu B'Shvat is one of those days. Chamisha Asar, Chamisha Asar. In fact, if you were to fold the Jewish calendar on its back to make 12 months really equal 6 months, so in the 5th month from Nisan and the 5th month from Tishrei is Shvat and Av, that Tu B'Av and Tu B'Shvat really stand back to back with each other. That essentially they're the same. What we see from here is that if you really want to know what Tu B'Shvat is about, you really don't know what it's about. Because after all is said and done, in the Gemara, in the Rishonim, in the Acharonim, in the Sfar Makdoshim, there isn't a reason which would truly justify why a day like this, that there's such brachos of Banei Chayim Mezayne, unbelievable shefa which comes down. It's unexplainable unless a person, that he comes to a state, that he says it's a chayk, but I have emuna, that there's something which is beyond from what I see about this day, that the roots are so deep on Tu B'Shvat. That there's something which is destined for this day which has not been nisgal yet. Only the tzaddikim, that the great tzaddikim, that they only had reshus to be megale, a tefach, tiny bits about really what Tu B'Shvat is. Just a little reasons here, a little reasons there, but that's really just simonim. The real siba for why Tu B'Shvat is a yontev will need to be nisgal. It has to do with the kates, it has to do with Mashiach. Which Chazal say, Liba lefuma leigalya, you can't speak about it, it's in your heart. But it doesn't come to the mouth to be able to explain what it is about Tu B'Shvat which is so special. We know that it's shaykh to the tikkun of the Eitz Hadas. It's mamish great things, core things. But to put it all together, we really need Mashiach Tzidkenu to dash in this day. Because man that a person has emuna and he believes in the words of the Chachamim, especially of the later day tzaddikim, because if you were to just base yourself on the words of Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh, you would not be sitting here right now. It's only because of the later tzaddikim that we believe that in every generation there are Moshe Rabbeinus, like the Chazal tell us, that there's not a single generation which doesn't have tzaddikim on the madrigas of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. That they tell us that there are days like this that they were able to see into the depths and to be megalitas, whatever they have reshus to be megalitas. It's in that spirit that we sit here today, in the spirit of emuna, that there's something about this day which we can't see. But to begin this next shlav of this inyan, with a question and with a story. Of course, we know that if Tu B'Shvat falls out at this time of year, it's not coincidental. There must be a shaychus between Shoivavim, of course, Shabbos Shira, Kabbalah Satayra, and Parshas Yisrael. There's a ma'aseh with the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. The story was recounted by Rav Aharon Roth, Baal Shem Emunim, Zchus Yagen Aleinu. He told over a story about the Baal Shem, that he was once walking with a very close Talmud, I'm not familiar with this Talmud, of Moshe Shoyham Yidalina. They were walking on a very harsh winter, in a midbar somewhere, one of the classic journeys of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. It was a bitter night, freezing cold, dark, and the whole journey was very much like that. And then they realized all of a sudden that it's Tu B'Shvat. So he retold that the Baal Shem Tov veered from the path, and he told Ramesha to follow him into a place that as he continued to walk down that path, as he continued to walk behind the Baal Shem Tov, all of a sudden the weather started to change, started to get warmer, the sun started to come out, and they were kimat transported to a different place. And they continue walking, and the Baal Shem Tov brings them to an orchard, and they sit down, and they start to eat peiros in the spirit of Tu B'Shvat. Later on, when they continue on the journey, and this Ramesha, he starts to regret that he didn't take enough peiros, he didn't take more peiros that he should have taken to show the maifis of the Baal Shem. So when they paused on the road and he went back to that place and he saw that there was really no parvis there whatsoever. We take a look at the inyan of Shabbos Shira. Tzar Makdoshim tell us that when we read about Kriyas Yamsuf, that although we have a yontiv of Kriyas Yamsuf, it's called Shi Shel Pesach. When we read and we recall in the Kriyas HaTorah, the nes of Kriyas Yamsuf, the lashon of the Tzar Makdoshim is that the Kriya is Ma'or HaZman. That is in Isarusa de la Elan, Isarusa de la Tata. And we create the Hashpois of Kriyas Yamsuf by reading about Kriyas Yamsuf. And all the Vayaminu Bashem of Amesha Avdais and all the schoolists and all the Yeshuas are bring down tremendous Baracha and Yeshuas for Klal Yisrael. Chazal tell us in the Medrash, Doresh Rabbi Neharoi, Ha'isa Bas Yisrael Iveres Bayam, that if a Bas Yisrael was passing through Ubina Biyada and she was carrying her baby, and the baby was crying, she would just stick her hands into the walls, in these walls of water, and she would pull out fruit. She'd pull out an apple, pull out a pomegranate, and feed her baby, her hungry baby, shenamar, kamidbar. Really what this tells us is a lot about Tu B'Shvat. That the whole nes of Kriyas Yamsuf, that the Yidden had emunah, and they were passing through, and as it was passing through this Yamsuf, Mikoyach the emunah gedoyla, the Vayaminu Bashem of Amesha Avdai, they were able to find peiros. These are not peiros which existed in these walls of water. Where were these peiros from exactly? These were peiros which were created from their emunah. And it's really these peiros which they ate, and it's this water which they drink, which is the shayrish of the man, which was the shayrish of the Be'er Miriam, which would follow the nes of Kriyas Yamsuf. That they created the shayroshim of these things through their emunah which they had. Of course, the man is from Lashon Emunah, Chazal tell us. And the same thing is true with the Baal Shem. That he didn't just stam find peiros in the middle of the midbar. These were peiros from a different world. These were not peiros which belonged to that midbar. These were peiros which came from a faraway place. And it wasn't because he utilized the Shemus HaKadoshim. As we know, Pinchas Karetz had brought, he was a Talmud for the Baal Shem. He was made that the Baal Shem Tov said, that the Baal Shem Tov had said that he crossed the river, know exactly how to pronounce it, of Danistar. It's a famous river where he lived. He split the sea. And he says, I am made to you, said the Baal Shem, that I didn't do so with any shame of Sakadoshim. I did it completely with Emunah. And it was the koyach of the Emunah that the Baal Shem Tov had, that although it was a very difficult journey, that he was able to forge a new path to find and to create these payers through the koyach of his Emunah. These are the payers of Tu B'Shvat. These are the payers of the Yom Suf. That they come from a faraway place, then in the schus of sitting down B'Emunah, that even though you don't know what it's about, but you sit here because you have Emunah on your meschazik in the inyan of Vayaminu B'Hashem over Moshe Avdai. That if you're the Baal Shem, then you're Vayaminu B'Hashem. And if you're of Moshe Mimadila, then you're Vayaminu B'Moshe Avdai. But Yezech to Paris like this. And this is perhaps the school of why this farm bringing to eat an Esrog. That the Esrog is king at the Tu B'Shvat Tish, although we don't have one now. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos that Klal Yisrael, when they received Torah, that when they were makdim nasa v'nishma, that they put the nasa before the nishma, the Gemara tells us that with this they were like a tapuach, that the pre comes before the leaves. And Tosfos says this is not true about a tapuach. Why does the Gemara say so? The Gemara says it's really referring to an esrog. That esrog is the simen of emunah. It's merumas in the medrash as well. That in Isha is Peshetes Yadav and Aitalis Tapuach. That Tapuach in the Lashon of Chazal is an Esrog. Because the Esrog is the Peri of all Peris, which represents the Inyan of Emunah. But Derech Remez to this, we know that Kriyas Yamsuf, therefore, and it's the Kriya of Shabbos Shira, which is Ma'oyer immediately afterwards, the whole Indian of Tu B'Shvat. That the Oz Yashir gives birth to the Oz Yiraninu Kol Atzeyar. And that gives birth to Matan Torah, which is Pashas Yisrael, which we'll get to, Mitzvah Shem, which is Oz Misina and Itztavu Aleha. That there's an Oz Yashir, and there's an Oz Yiraninu Atzehayor, and there's an Oz Misinai. But that Oz is an Oz of La'asalavoy. We don't understand truly what this means, Tu B'Shvat. But from wherever that Oz Yashir comes from, that Yashir L'Tchiyas HaMeisim comes from, that's the Ha'ara from La'asalavoy, that's the same place where the Oz Yiraninu Kol Atzehayor comes from. The Torah tells us about the Pri Etz Chaim. In order to attain the Pri Etz Chaim, one must know that there's a Shmira which surrounds the Pri Etz Chaim, which is called the Lahat HaCheref HaMisapeches. I in art school had to teach that. Or you can look at Peches Karetzer, how he teaches it. Peches Karetzer tells us that the Lahat HaCheref HaMisapeches is a remnant to all the stiras and sveikas and menias that a person has in his avodas Hashem. And the reality is that it's a tremendous hashkafa bi'alma. Speaking about simanim, many times the sveikas and the stiras and the menias which we have in our avodas Hashem are simanim that we're standing on something which is very great. That something big is about to happen. The X marks the spot. Like we find by Kriyas Yamsuf itself. Chazal tell us that when they came to the Yamsuf, They came in a state of Bahala, that they were traveling in one direction as if they were leaving Mitzrayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulled them back as if they were coming back to Mitzrayim, of which even Paro was made. Nevuchim heim ba'aretz, sagar lehem hamidbar, and the Yidden were wondering, where are we going? We're going in circles. And then Hashem says, okay, follow me. And then they come to a dead end by the Yam Suf, and now there's the Mitzrayim on one side and the Yam Suf on the other side. This is called the Lahat HaCherev HaMisapeches. And when a person comes to a place of the Lahat HaCherev HaMisapeches, where he's confused, where he's Venahapachud, and he's Meschazik in Emuna, Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael Hashem, Vayaminu, Al Titzak Elai, Darbu b'nei Yisrael v'Yisrael, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens things up. And then you're able to enter into that Gan Eden, and you're able to find the Eitz HaChayim. But when you're traveling through the Yam Suf, in a place which doesn't really exist, and you stick your hand into those walls, and you pull out a peiri, you pull out peiris of Emunah, you pull out a Tapuach, you pull out an Esrog, you pull out a Pi Eitz HaChayim. Because you were able to cross B'Sholem the Lahat HaCherev HaMisapeches. So, V'Hamayim Lahem Chayim HaMiyiminam, it's Gematria Ilan Tu Bishvat. Then in those walls of water which they plucked out, those Pri Eitz Chayims, this is where the Elan of Tu B'Shvat resides. If you take a look in the poskim, if you open up one of these Tzvarim called Mishnas Mayadim, Oitzeh HaMayadim, which is supposed to discuss the halachas of Yamtiv, if you open up Pesach, you'll get Chedek Chamishi of Mishnah Berurah. If you open up Chanukah, you'll get, you know, the Simonim in Chanukah, Rosh Hashanah, etc. If you open up the Eitz HaMayidim for the halachas of Tu B'Shvat, you'll have Hilchos Birchos HaPeres. This is the halachas of Tu B'Shvat. When it comes to the quote-unquote halachas of Tu B'Shvat, so of course the Sfarim say to make a bracha on the Esrog. So now what bracha do you make on an Esrog? What bracha do you make on an edible esrog when you've turned it into a jelly? What's called a mirkachat. So ayin in the poskim. Some say it's bari pi ha'etz. Some say it's a bari pi ha'adama. Some say it's shakon ibidvarei. Okay. Pretty confusing. And you have to make a shachianu on that, right? So do you make a shachianu on that or do you not make a shachianu on that? I don't know. Ein Ksav Sofer, Ein the Ishal Avram, it's not so pashit. Some say you can't because it's not Mischadish Mishana Lashana. The Gemara says that it's a Pi Eitz Hadar, it exists all year round. Some say you made a Shechiyonu in the Sesrig already on Sukkot, how can you make another one? Okay, so now we're stuck in two ways. We don't know what bracha to make on the Esrig, we don't even know how to make a Shechiyonu on it. It's called a Lat HaCherev HaMisapeches. You feel like you've come to something really good. And you want to make a Shechiyonu. And you want to be chal on that peiri, a bechina of the Pri Eitz Chaim. That's what Shechiyonu means. If you make a Shechiyonu on a Pri, you're declaring it a Pri Eitz Chaim. But you can't. You have a lot of Chayv and Misapechas in front of you. So you have to know the Maisa with the Beis Avraham. First, you have to know who he is. The Beis Avraham is one of the Sanam Rebbe's. One of the more recent Sanam Rebbe's. He was once sitting at a Tu B'Shvat Tish. And the Oilam was singing, and it was very geschmack. And they brought before the Rebbe an Esrog. And he was being done the shaila, do I make a shachiyonu on this or not? So you had tzad lezeh and a tzad lezeh. So there was a posek who was sitting at the table. His name was the Rav from Zelibik. So he deferred to him and he asked him, what do we do? Do we make a shachianu on this or not? So he cleared it too and he said, I don't know. Safek brochas lahakel. So the Rebbe picked up the esrog and b'kol ram he said, shachianu v'kimanu v'giyanu lazman hazeh. And he took a bite out of the esrog. Of course, all the chassidim were astonished. And the chassidim, they teached it afterwards like this. They said, really the Rebbe was makayim, the Indian of safek brochas lahakel. But for him not to have made the bracha of Shechianu would have been a big tsar. So he was makel on himself to make the bracha. That's not the emissary reason why is because when you come to the Lahat Acher HaMitzapeches and you have a hergish that you know what's the right thing to do, you really know what the Rebbein Shalom wants. And you can stop it in halacha. It fits in halacha. It doesn't go against halacha. There's a makom for it in halacha. But you know what's right. Because when it comes to chayim, you know what chayim means to you. You jump and you make the bracha. When you come to a kriyas yamsuf, and you have the mitzvim on the one end, and you have the yamsuf on the other hand, and you're nevuchim ba'aretz, and if you're a nachshon, you jump in. And when you do so, you find the pre Yitzchayim. When you do so, you find the pre which you made a Shachianu on. Rabbi Nachman has a Torah on this. Kuf Tesvav. A pasuk in this week's parsha, which is Nogia to Yisrael. Vayamid ha'am irachoy k'moyshe nigash al ha'arafel asher shama elikin. Rabbi Nachman writes, you can only see every other word. He says, many times when a person is walking on a good way, ve'eino maniach yisei leilich v'dachi Hashem yizbarach, and then he feels like things are getting hard, u'mazmin le'miniyah, and Hashem sends him a maniyah. Umaster is atzmo kivyocha b'hamaniyah zayis. But Hashem is hiding himself in the maniyah. Umayit Hashem haboyi baruchu. And that's where he finds Hashem. Umishahu bardas, a person who is a true bardas, yacholim sayas Hashem yizbaruch b'tzayich haminiyah z'atzmo. You can find Hashem in those maniyahs. Ki be'emes ein shu maniyah klal. And this is pshat. Umayisha nigash al ha'arafel. The Moshe went into the Miniyah. Kisham ha'elikim, because Hashem is in the Miniyah. Whereas everybody else it says, Vayamid ha'amei rachayk. That they didn't have the seichel to see, or to understand what a Miniyah is. That they didn't have the das to know how to identify a la'at acher v'misapeches. Moshe had that das. When Moshe nigash al ha'arafel, he went into that chayshach, ha'shasham ha'elikim, and that's where he found the Ribono Shel Olam. That he found the Torah, which is called the Eitz Chaim, because he came to the point of the La'at Acher HaMitzapeches. And he found another Oz. But there's not just an Oz Yashir, not just an Oz Yiranu. There's also an Oz Misinai. And there's also another Oz. It's called the Oz Teilech Lavetach Darkecha. That you have the Bitochen, as the Chazal Ish says. Bitochen means that in your heart you know what's right. It's not just blind leap of faith. It's a leap of faith. Like with Yisro himself, that the parsha is called after Yisro. When the whole world heard about the Nisim and the love that Hashem had for Klal Yisro, says that they heard too, Shamu Amim Yergazon, but nobody came. It was only Yisro. That he lived his life as a La'at Acher v'Mitzapeches. His whole life was a life like that. From this Avodah Zarah to that one. It was Mamish Mishapech Mizeh L'zeh. But he was Vayishma Yisro, Vayava Yisrael. And even though he had to come into a midbar, Asher Lo Zaruah, and he had to leave the covered behind, it was worth it in order to be dovek to the Eitz HaChaim. Like Rabbi Mendel Veg, who was one of the Talmid and Chassidim of the son of a Rebbe himself, he'd be told that once when the Rebbe, as he was being mechin for Tvila, he said, "Moshe nigash el harafel asher sham alekim," that there's a hester, that's called the harafel, but you have to be mashber, mishaber that hester, mipnei asher sham alekim, because that's where the Ribbono Shel Olam is. Behind the la'at achayav ha'misafech. That's why on this pasuk, vayamid, vayamdu meirachoik u'meiga Moshe nigash el harafel. Rashi Teves, Mirachai, it's a mem. Umoisha, it's a vav. Nigash, it's a nun. El, is an aleph. And Hoyalekim is a hey. What does that spell? Amunah. Takes tremendous Amunah. And when you make it through, you find the pairs of Amunah. That tapuach. As the pasuk says, "Halochim b'choishech ro'u or gadol." It's the same minion as behind the arafel. That's where the elokus is. "Halochim b'choishech ro'u or gadol." Choishech is gematria, tu bishvat. Ro'u or gadol is gematria. Derech Yitzchayim. That it's in Tu Bishvat. Thus is the Derech Yitzchayim, which takes you to the Pi Yitzchayim. But you want to know why? Because you sit here and you don't know what you're doing here. But because you have Muna, the words of the Tzaddikim. That even though you have to walk through a Kriyas Yamsuf, there's a tremendous lat hachever misapeches around you. It's in those moments that you find the Rabbi Shalom, you find what it is you're looking for. It's b'derech remez, gam ki eidach b'geit samoves, even though you go in the geit samoves, al ira kiat imadi, shiftecha mishantecha, that's where you find shvat. You find chodesh shvat in the geit samoves. It's very dark at night, long nights, bitter cold, harsh winds down Amsterdam. Maisa. It's in the cold nights of Shvat. We learn Torah. Even though people have nisyonos with dating, and school, family issues, whatever it is, all the chlata chayrus and mislapechas in our lives. And if a person, if he understands that these are not menias to throw him away, and many times the X marks the spot, this is the time to thrive most, and you have a special siyat to the Shemaya there. It is behind those doors. It gives a person tremendous chizuk to know that, because he's a bardas like Moshe, that everybody stood behind, that he learned that behind the arafah, that's where you find the lukos. And that's perhaps the real reason why today, out of all generations, Tu Bishvat has a very special chin. Because if you look back at the earlier Sfarim HaKadoshim, there's come out no mention of Tu Bishvat whatsoever. It's mentioned in Halacha, it's a Rosh Hashanah Leilanos, but as a yontif, it's only later days. And the more that the generations continue to go on, the more that it becomes a yontif. Because as we get closer to that place, to its shayrish of Las Alavo, we get closer to the root of what this yontif is really all about. And the day becomes more intensified, and the iris becomes stronger, and the yontif becomes more apparent to us. But along with that, because the hester is getting thicker, and if Hashem said, "Anechi Haster Aster Panimikam," about this generation, every day which goes by is another Hester Al Gadi Hester, which means that the La'at Achev HaMisapeches is getting thicker, that means the Yontav of Tu Bishvat is getting greater. So everybody has in their own lines their own La'at Achev HaMisapeches, all the Menias and all the Steeris and all the Sveikas. Rosh Baruch Hu should help each and every one of us here and God's clients over Chamakam Shahim. That we should be Bechlal those who have the Das of Moshe, and Moshe Nigash al Ha'arafel, to find what we're truly searching for, Asher Shem Alekim, to find the Elokus, that to realize that the Derech of Emunah itself is the Derech Yitzchayim. Derech Emunah is Gematria Tes Vav Shvat. This is the path which is Tu Bishvat, which we walk down on Tu Bishvat. We find those Peres, Kadosh Baruch Hu should help us, we should all find those Peres in our lives. To be Zeche, to have Dedekes to the Ribbono Shelolam, to be Mi Oichle, from the Pri Yitzchayim, with that to be Zeche. To truly be Oichle from that Pri Yitzchayim. To see the real beauty, the Pri Eitz Hadar of this day, be Magala itself. It should be no longer be a Chayk, it should no longer be just a day of Emunah. It should be a day of Tam. Tremendous simcha, that the true simcha should be in his gala, would be his goyal tzedek, may remain on me.
Shanae. Right, Rubenstein mentioned one of the tzaddikim of Nadvarna. So I'll also start by mentioning one of the tzaddikim of Nadvarna. Of Mordechai of Nadvarna, it's brought in the Sefer Oros Mordechai. And it's so fitting, as we sit here trying to keep these little candles alive. He had a custom of lighting many, many candles on special occasions. Special days, special yard sites. And one time he was in Siget, he found himself in Siget on Tu B'Shvat, and it was about midnight, and he was going around the Beis Medrash, and he was lighting candles. And Kedarko B'Kodesh, he was lighting a lot of candles, but on Tu B'Shvat, he was particularly mishugan about this minhag. And they saw him in the Beis Medrash after midnight, on Tu B'Shvat, climbing onto ladders, trying to find every nook and cranny where he could put another candle. On the shelf, top of the Aron, here or there, everywhere he could put another candle, he was trying to put another candle. This was a tzaddik who had a strong connection to the Indian of candles, the Indian of ore. But dafka by Tu B'Shvat, more than any other day, and this was again a person who was osik in this Indian very much, every space, every ledge, every nook, another candle, another candle, another candle. And like Rabbi Rubinstein explained so beautifully, Ha'am Ahochem B'Choshech, Choshech B'Gamatria Tu B'Shvat, that we're sitting here in the dark, and we're trying to be ma'orah ourselves. We're trying to understand, like Rabbi explained so beautifully, what we're doing here, b'chlal, what we're doing here. And this far, try to give us a window. We try to get a peek. I'm just going to say some very pashut things. I usually try to prepare something a little nicer for the occasion. I hope you'll be mochel. It's a busy day.
It's always nice.
We'll say pashut things. The Shevet Musar writes that a person should be very, very careful to eat fruit on Tu B'Shvat, because it's a very ancient minhag. It's very chashu, it's a very ancient minhag. It's very nice that he tells us that. There's a chizuk that this isn't something we created last week. It's a big Indian by the tzaddikim, but again, we're not really sure what it is. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe explains, as he did on numerous occasions, that when you have a Yom Tov or an Indian in Avoda, that's not clear in Halacha, and is not clear even in Chazal, not exactly sure where this comes from or exactly what the Inyan is, Lubavitcher Rebbe said when the Inyan's not recorded clearly in Halacha, the Minhag is even higher than the Halacha. That it maintains this element of Hester, and we're still waiting for it to be Megal itself, like Rabbi Rubinstein explained so beautifully, and it's not found clearly in Halacha, because it's something that goes beyond Halacha. Same Inyan of Tvila on the morning of Shavuos. It's not clear in Halacha that there's such an Inyan. And there's very big people who aren't knowing that thing. But those who understand that it's an Inyan know that it's one of the biggest things in the calendar year. So it's a very secretive thing. And we're trying to understand what it is. And again, you look to the Tzaddikim and you try to get a glimpse of what it's about. The Tzemach Tzaddik from Vizhnitz, he writes in his writings by Tu B'Shvat, he says, some Tzaddikim would dafka wear big day Shabbos on Tu B'Shvat. I think last year Tu B'Shvat was on Shabbos, so that was easy. Everyone was a big tzaddik last year. We all wore big day Shabbos on Tu B'Shvat. But by big tzaddikim, there's an Indian of wearing big day Shabbos on Tu B'Shvat. It's a big thing. It's not stam that a tzaddik goes with big day Shabbos. But again, the tzaddikim are giving us a glimpse. We're trying to understand what can we take from this. Rabbi explained in Pnimius what we're trying to do. It's a big Indian being metakin. The Chere Tzadas, the Achila of Tu B'Shvat is very much a tikkun for Chere Tzadas. Medrash says that when Adam Rishon ate from the tree, the Lashon of the Pasuk is, Adam says, Ve'ochel. Right? So Chazal Darshan, it doesn't say Achalti, it doesn't say I ate in the past, it says Ve'ochel, that I would eat, I ate and I would continue to eat. So this is what I'm saying. Adam Rishon says a chutzpah, Kodesh Baruch Hu catches you violating the one thing he told you not to do, you ate and you say Ve'ochel. Right? Chalti va'ochelo, and I'll eat more. Continue to eat. So I saw from one of the tzaddikim, he said that Adam Rishon wasn't being chutzpedik. Adam Rishon wasn't saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I ate be'isser and I'm going to continue to eat be'isser. Adam Rishon was saying, I know I messed up. I know that achila can be a beginning. And I know that I messed up. And I'm going to eat again. And this time I'm going to eat right. And the tzaddikim say, when do we do that? When we're mitaki in this inyan of achila? Which again, to regular people like ourselves is very foreign. Someone told me that they saw over the break, they were in Eretz Yisrael, and they saw Rabbi Rav Itcher Meyer, and they said they never saw anyone eat like that in their life. To see a tzaddik, he said, you could see the kavanos on each bite. Every nibble, every chew was with deep kavanos. So Adam Rishon said, I messed up the ultimate avera. And there's going to have to be an unbelievable tikkun ba'achila. So maybe that's what we're trying to do. We're sitting here, it's nice. Nice mezonos, nice ha'etz. Nice things. But it's very hard to understand. We're trying to gain an appreciation for a grape, for a pomegranate seed, for a regalach. Again, not stam to eat it because it's tasty. But tonight, if any night we stop and we think a little bit, and we make a bracha with a little more kavanah, and we're a little more cognizant of what we're doing, not just making a bracha as a hechsher to allow us to eat, but as an Indian of avoda, that I want the bracha more than I want the food. That's tonight. And it's a big tikkun. We're trying to become sensitive to what it means to put a piece of food into our mouth, into our body. Mechayim Moran, I think it's also in Sichos Aran, it says that Rabbi Nachman was one time, he was traveling, he stayed by this inn, and he woke up in the middle of the night, he was screaming. Mamish screaming. And the Talmidim, the Hasidim, they came running to Rabbi Nachman, and they said, Rabbi, what is it? Rabbi Nachman says, I can tell that this inn, that this building, the wood that this building is made of, he said, all of a sudden I felt in the middle of the night that this building was made from trees that were cut down when they were very young. And a person who cuts down a young tree, it's like a person who kills a person when they're a young person. Mamish stealing life. How many people can, you know, be sensitive to such a thing? Rabbi Nachman felt, he was screaming, as if someone just committed a murder in front of him. At the building itself, the person was mezalzel in his eitz. Ki adam eitz asada, he felt it, Mamish felt it in his bones. And the famous story when the Rebbe Rayat was a young boy walking with his father, the Rebbe Rashab. A very similar story that happened with Rav Aryeh Levin in 1905, walking with Rav Kook. Both of them made the terrible mistake of plucking a leaf off a tree. Aimlessly, walking along. You know, as we sometimes do. Not every move I make is with kavana. You pluck the leaf off a tree. And the way the Rebbe Rashab, and the way the Rav Kook, and each of the similar maisios, turned to the Rebbe Rayat as a young boy, turned to Rav Aryeh Levin and said, what are you doing? How could you be so insensitive to pluck a leaf off a tree? Don't you realize the kedusha of every bit of the bria? So we're sitting here tonight, we're trying to get a little bit of that sensitivity. We're trying to eat a little bit differently. We're trying to have an appreciation for the peiros. I was thinking, so far I've only made mezonos. I ate one reglach. I was thinking as I made the bracha, like, wheat. Do we like think about how wheat grows? What it takes to get from a stalk in the ground, to be ground up, to come to bagels or whatever, to be made into a regular, like, it's such a process, and I just like stuff it in my mouth, and I enjoy it, and I say a bracha. Okay, I say the bracha. But do I think about the process? In the back of the Tamei HaMenhagim, in the Kuntres Achron, in the back of the Tamei HaMenhagim, I think it quotes from Rav Uri of Strelitz, I don't remember. I think it's from Uri of Strelitz. The Saraf, he's known as the Saraf, the fiery one from Strelitz. And the Strelitzker said that when we say the bracha of Borei Pri Ha'etz, Borei is Lashon Hove, Borei. He says you have to think that Ki'ilu HaKadosh Baruch, not Ki'ilu, L'maisa, true, that HaKadosh Baruch is creating that fruit in that place at that time, at that exact moment. So you think, I made a little money, and I went to the store, and I bought an apple, and I took it home, and I rinsed it off, I cut it up, or I didn't cut it up, whatever, right? But to think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that moment is giving you that eitz, that he's borei, that he's mechadish, p'tuvo, kol yom tamid, every second, ma'isa bereishis is being recreated, as you're holding that apple in your hand, you're making borei priya eitz. Again, we don't think like that. And this is the night where we try in some small way to start thinking about these things, trying to reawaken our connection to these things. To try to somehow, in a very, very small way, to metak in the Inyan of Eitz Hadas. I told you I want to speak very pashut. I wanted to share a mashal from Rav Chaim Chernovitzer and just be ma'arich on it a little bit. It's in a sefer of mashalim and stories for Chodesh Elul, for the Yom Noram. And it's an unbelievable ma'isa from the Be'er Mayim Chaim. I told the following mashal. You understand very obviously why it's a Yom Noram mashal, but I think to me, it's very, very much a Tu B'Shvat mashal. He said there was Nebuch, there was this young boy who fell deathly ill. Everyone's trying to figure out what's going to be. His parents are so worried. Finally, they fly in, you know. I guess in the olden days, they flew him in by horse and buggy. They flew him in, the specialist, you know, to try to do something. And the doctor comes and he says, I have a very strong medicine. And the kid is mamish, white as a ghost. A ghost, says mamish, hanging on the brink of death. And the doctor administers the medicine, and he holds the boy's hand, and he looks up, and he says to the parents, ah, Gavaldik, he's going to be fine, he's going to be healthy. And the parents look at the kid. Nothing changed. His mom is still, he can barely breathe. He's pale as can be. He didn't sit up, he didn't have this miraculous recovery, he sat up and jumped into his mother's arms. His mom is as dead as he was 2 seconds ago. And the doctor says, no, he's fine, I gave him the medicine, he's going to be... How do you know? What changed? How do you know that? So Chaim Chernovitzer said that the doctor said the following. The doctor turned to the parents and said, you look at your child superficially, and you see that he's scrawny, and he looks ill, and he's pale, and he's breathing heavily, He says, but I took his pulse. And I felt from the time that I administered the medicine, very shortly after, I felt a change in his pulse. I felt the inner life force of him beating alive in a different way. So on the outside, he still looks exactly the same. Nothing changed on the outside. On the outside, he's still dead as can be. But on the inside, the doctor says, I have the sensitivity to realize that this is a sign that he's going to be fine. I have the training to recognize what's happening, but pneumius, that there's still something beating inside of him, and he's going to reemerge, he's going to be fine. You don't have the eyes to see that. I understand that. But I promise you, the doctor said, that he's going to be fine. To me, there's maybe no better mashal or ma'isa to highlight what Tu B'Shvat is. What's Tu B'Shvat? All the tzaddikim say, you look outside, the trees are still dead, nothing changed. So Rashi tells us in two places, in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Beis and Daf Yud Dalid, that the seraph is Ola Be'ilam. That the sap, which apparently is the inner, you know, workings of the tree, the sap is starting to rise up in the tree. No, so? They're dead trees and we're sitting here eating the fruit already. It's like the Kedushas Levi in last week's Parsha. The Klal Yisrael were able to celebrate Yetzias Mitzrayim, to be able to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to recognize the Hatzalah before it even happened. Because, like Rebbe said, they had such bitachon that it was going to happen. A Yid sometimes looks at himself on the outside, and he says, I'm putting the medicine in, I'm trying to daven, I say Tikkun Klali, I try to learn, my Rebbe's a good Rebbe, he tries to give over the sugya, I'm taking notes, I'm trying to chapa, I'm working hard, and I still feel, I look in the mirror, I'm the same person I was. I don't see any change. But what Tu B'Shvat reminds us is that when a person is taking that medicine, you may not, superficially, you may not see the change. But the doctor takes the pulse and the doctor says, ah, this is a Yid who's still alive. He's still connected to Torah and mitzvahs. He's still striving for Inyan Kedusha, even though there's ups and downs. And he's trying. The Sraf is Ola Be'ilan. Something's still kicking on the inside. And he's able to believe in himself once again. And to me, that's the limit of Tisha B'Av. Of Tu B'Shvat. I keep saying Tisha B'Av. Tu B'Shvat. I told you I didn't make good hachanas today. Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky used to say, if you didn't prepare the shir, you wouldn't speak. Maybe I should have kept quiet tonight. Tu B'Shvat is the celebration that the pulse is still alive. The doctor takes the pulse. The Kodesh Baruch Hu takes our pulse. And how beautiful it is in the Ikvus of the Mashicha. It's cold outside. Halachically, in Halacha, Tu B'Shvat is still considered, in Halacha, it's still considered winter. And we're celebrating the fruit, we're celebrating the payros, it's going to be gevaldik. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're doing great. Shalom Shadran tells a mashal in his Lev Shalom, in the Shemos volume on page 301, he says, he's walking down the street one time, and he sees a fellow standing in this, Rosh Shalom is a very friendly person. He wasn't in Eretz Yisrael, he was an American. It was a snowy day. You know, people are bundled up, and Rosh Shalom sees this fellow, he's all bundled up, and Rosh Shalom calls out to him, Shalom Aleichem, Shalom Aleichem. He starts to wave. Guys, standing there like this. Doesn't say anything back. So self-absorbed. So he's getting closer. He says, hi, how are you? You know, just trying to human connection, make some connection. And he's waving and he's... So Shalom says, he finally gets a little closer. And he sees it's a snowman. He's waving to a snowman. He's talking to a snowman. And Shalom said he took such a deep muster from that. The Maggid from Yerushalayim, Shalom Shodron said, if you're a snowman, there's no response. If your mom is a snowman, if you're snow on the inside and on the outside, even if you have a coat and a hat, once you see that carrot nose, you know, snowman's not talking back to. But a Yid, sometimes on the outside, he also looks shtickle frozen. He also looks hunched over. He also looks like there's no chiyus. But Tu B'Shvat reminds us that the doctor takes the pulse and he says, no, you're going to be fine. You're trying, and that's gevaldik. You're doing good. There's going to be peros. You can't see them yet. But celebrate them now. Eat the peros now. Enjoy the peros. The trees are dead. The trees are bare. There's nothing happened on the outside today. Nothing changed. Tomorrow, nothing. You're not going to see anything happening tomorrow. Nisan, you'll see a beautiful rebirth of the world. Hischadshus. We're talking about Tu B'Shvat. Hischadshus. Yeah, inside. Inside, something's happening. Something's changing on the inside. Degel Machaneh Ephraim, in this week's Parsha, brings a very famous mashal from the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. Baal Shem Tov said, imagine a person goes to a chasama, and he sees everyone dancing wildly at the chasama. And he's watching, and moving, and moving, and dancing. And this guy's looking at everyone dancing, jumping around. He says, what's going on here? He can't for the life of him understand what are people doing. It's a strange movement. He sees people moving. Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh said, in the mashal, the person's deaf. And a deaf person who comes to the chasana He can't hear the band. He can't hear the music. He doesn't understand what's moving these people. All he sees is the chitonis. These strange movements, strange tnuos. So what's going on here? Because he doesn't hear the music. You can look at a yid sometimes, right, chuckling during davening, like the tzaddikim talk about, that Gemara in Maseches Tanis, the way that some of the tzaddikim explained, when one of the Tanayim said to a person, "You're such an ugly person," he said back to him, "You should tell the one who made me." Tzaddikim explained, what was ugly about him? A tzaddik said to a simple person, "You're an ugly person." What he was saying to him, he said, "Your avodas Hashem is ugly." And the way the tzaddikim explained it is, when he would daven, he would make these strange tnuos, just trying to get the bad machshavas out of his head, trying to just to tap in. On the outside, he's weird, strange things. What are you doing? But if you hear the music, if you're listening to the music of your own neshama, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu, of course, is hearing it, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu says, no, this makes sense. The moves make sense. The movements make sense. Because something's happening on the inside. And a person's changing on the inside. A snowman doesn't hear. A person who's not trying to sit, now you understand a little bit deeper why Matl Navorna was going around lighting candles all over the place. He's trying to say, no matter how dark it is, the choshech's not as dark as it looks. There's a light that's still burning on the inside. And Dafka Tu B'Shva, you look at lowly Jews, Ikvus of the Mashiach Jews, end of days, Jews are trying, just slapping along, just trying and trying. We don't even know what we're doing here, like Rebbe explained so beautifully. But we're trying. And we're trying. And we're digging deeper. Because we believe that the medicine's working on the inside. The mazel, every month has a mazel. The mazel for Chodesh Shvat is the dali, is the pail. And the inyan of the pail is that the more you lower it, the more you lower it down, the digger you deep, the more water you bring up. Person who's not going to make the effort to lower the pail, and if you lower the pail, it's going to get heavy. It's going to be a lot of pulling. But a person who takes the dali and lowers it and reaches down deep, he pulls up something beautiful. Look at the word dali. It's a dal yud. Dal means lowly. Dal yud. A yid who's kind of low. Right? But he digs deep. He takes that pail and he digs deep inside of himself. And he says, there's sraf that's ola be'ilan. And he says, after everything that I've been through, I'm still a yid. On the outside, I'm a little bit dal. I'm a little bit shvach. I'm a little bit frozen. There's no fruits, but I'm celebrating. I'm celebrating the pirus I'm going to give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I believe, on Tu B'Shvat, I believe that something's changing. That all those times that I didn't see any change, and I'm just trying and trying, something's happening. Something's changing on the inside. I'll just end by talking, just for a moment, about the name of Hashem that's shayach to the month of Shvat. Because it really encompasses everything that we said tonight. The name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shem Havayah for the month of Shvat, is Hey Yud, Vav, and Hey. Hey and Yud and Vav and Hey. That's the arrangement. There's 12 different ways you could arrange the letters of Hashem's name. Nisan is Yud Kei Vav Kei. Tammuz is Kadosh Baruch Hu's name backwards. Chodesh Shvat, Hey and Yud and Vav and Hey. And it's Merumas in a very hard Masechta, in a Pasuk and Parshas Bechukosai, called Tmura. What's the inyan of Tmura? What's the Isser of Tmura is a better way to say it. The Pasuk says if a person designates an animal, it's Kadosh, Toli, designated as a Karban. And then he decides, you know what, I want to change it for a different animal. Maybe I want to trade it for a worse animal, save a few bucks. Maybe, no, Hashem, I want to upgrade, I want to give you a better animal. The Pasuk says, if a person tries to exchange it, lo yachlifanu, you can't exchange it, you can't switch it. V'lo yamiroso, you can't trade it. Tov bera ura betov, even if you're, certainly if you're downgrading, even if you're upgrading. V'im hamer yamir behema, if you try to exchange the animal, Vahayahu tmuraso yeh kodesh. Then both the original animal and the exchange animal now are both holy. You thought I'm going to take away the kiddush from this one and give it to a different one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiviyachol penalizes you and says now they're both holy. You have to bring two karbanos now. You're trying to change. No, there's no. You can't remove the kiddush. The kiddush is there, and the thing that you tried to exchange it for, the iser. Think about this for a second. The iser creates more kiddusha. The yirid that creates more kiddusha. It's usr. It's an isr in the Torah. Lo yachliflenu v'lo yamiroso. You're not allowed to do it. And if you do, it creates kedusha. So the tzaddikim explained, the Bnei Yisrael and all the tzaddikim explained, based on earlier sources, that if you look at this pasuk very carefully, and you look at the pasuk again a couple of psukim later, pasuk lamed gimel, the pasuk says again, don't exchange v'lo yamirenu, v'im hamer yamirenu, v'hayahu utmuraso yakodesh. That if you try to exchange it, who? The original one? Utmuraso and the exchange? They're both holy. So tzaddikim say, the name of Hashem for Chodesh Shvat is Hey, Yud, Vav, and Hey. Rashi Tevos, Hamer, Yimirenu, Vahayahu. Hamer Yemirano. Pasuk is Ve'im Hamer Yemirano Vahayahu Utmaraso Yakodesh. Hamer Yemirano, you did an Isser, and you said, I'm no good, I'm never going to change, I'm never going to fix myself. Someone else came to the Rishner and said to the Halakha Rishner, he said, Rabbi, I'm never going to change. I've tried for so long. I'm dead, it's over. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to give up on me. So the Rishner said such a beautiful lashon to him. The Halakha Rishner said, just like it's the minhag of Klal Yisrael to promise that they're going to change and continue to do averos, it's the minhag of Kadosh Baruch Hu to continue to forgive them. It's the minhag of Kadosh Baruch Hu's minhag. Tu b'Shvat, it's all minhagim. That's why I'm saying it's a minhag to eat fruit. It's a minhag. Hamer Yamirano, you did an avera. Hamer, it's lashon of mumar. Person who's a heretic. Hamer Yamirano, you did an iser. V'hayahu t'muraso yakodesh. And somehow, if he keeps trying, as much as on the outside he's failing, Kedusha is going to emerge from that. Something holy is going to emerge from that. Listen to the line from the Chinuch. With this, I'll mamash conclude. The Chinuch writes in Mitzvah 352, the Mitzvah or the Isser of Tmura. The Chinuch says, Ki hu ba b'maisav lafkia Kedusha. He did something to try to remove Kedusha. And what's the Mitzvah? What actually happens? V'tia lehefech shetispashe yoser v'titvos b'chol. That he wanted to take away the Kedusha, and in truth, he spread Kedusha, and it expanded into other things. A Yid who believes that Hamer Yemirenu, for all the times that I disappointed HaKadosh Baruch Hu and disappointed myself, Vahayahu, you know what he celebrates? Vahay is always a lashon of Simcha. You know what the Vahay is? You know what the Simcha is? Who? Who? He's still, Afal Pi Shechata Yisrael? Who? The Gemara in Sanhedrin. He's still a Yid. And he keeps trying. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't laugh at him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? I take your pulse. I check in on Tu B'Shvat. You know, you're somewhere between Chanukah and Purim. It's cold, it's dark. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the pulse of it and says, I can be made. The Yodei Talumos is made, that the pulse is still beating. And that for all those times that you thought, this is it, I ruined it, I've lost the Kedusha, Hashem says, you'll see, keep trying. You'll see that all those Yeridos are Mamash Elios. That all the times that the pail went down, the pail brought up water. You dug in deep. And you found something deep inside of a Hayahu, you could celebrate. Who? Afal Pi Shechati Yisrael, who Hashem still believes in you. There's something still going on in the inside. And that you're not like that snowman that Rosh Hashanah Shadron, on that cold winter day, was trying to have a conversation with. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu still wants to talk to us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu still wants to listen to us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu still wants to be connected to us. Hamer Yemirenu, for all the changes in my life and all the ups and downs, Vahayahu, I celebrate the fact that I'm still here. So Mirtz Hashem, as we sit here by these lights, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. To believe in ourselves, if to believe in our fellow Jews, if the mamish believe, if to call a friend, I don't know. Tu B'Shvat's a good time, call a friend, maybe someone in secular college, and tell him, you know, I still believe in you. It's Tu B'Shvat. I want to wish you a Freilich and Tu B'Shvat. Have some peros, make a bracha. You know, believe in the little things. Believe that a Jew can do a little this, a little that. And Hamer Yemirenu, and like Rebbe explained, all of the La Tacherva Misapechas, and all of the ups and downs, and all the exchanges, and all the times I thought, Kedusha, let the Tumah, and Tumah, let the Kedusha, and ups and downs. Then Amir Tashem, Vahayahu. The letters of Mashiach, Vahayahu. Right, who? Like those missing letters at the end of Parshas Peshalach. Hiyad al Keska, Mecham al Hashem, Bamalik, Midor Dor. The battle that takes place in every generation. What are the missing letters? Hiyad al Kes. Kes is missing an Aleph, it should say Kisei. And Ka, Yod Hei, is missing the Vav Hei. Right, so you put together the letters. Hei, and Vav, and Aleph is who? It's very much an Indian of Mashiach, anytime you see the word who. So Hamer Yamirenu, for all the ups and downs, for all the exchanges, for all the lata, cherev misapeches, for all the sveikos, and all the struggles, and all the times that I thought that I was mafkia the kedusha, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you'll see, it'll lead to more kedusha. It'll be mispashit the kedusha. And then v'hayil, you'll be able to celebrate the who, with Mashiach. There's Mashiach, you can't have Amen. Amen. Yeah.
I saw it up, it's a
Anyone wants to help sponsor the food? It's not too late.